Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is New Year's Eve, and we are going out with a bang. 5 hours of sports talk. And hey, JP, how you doing?
What's
I ran
up?
Out of steam there.
I was to say, this is almost a mayonnaise read with the energy and enthusiasm here.
I wanted to bring
mayo
it.
Game day be delicious.
You really got it's the game. There's a lot of elements to that. I don't want to start explaining how to do a great read like that, but you get it. You're a radio pro.
Yeah,
right?
You came in. You came in like a bull in a china shop, and I love it.
And then I ran completely out of steam.
And then you stopped, and that's okay, too.
Because it is the end of the year. How you doing, bud?
I'm good. I'm getting excited for New Year's Eve. Kind of excited. I'm not a big New Year's Eve guy. We usually go to a party downtown every year for New Year's Eve, and this year we're not doing that, and I could not be more thrilled. We're just going to hang out at the house. We're going to watch all the... we're going to watch Andy Cohen get drunk, basically, is what's going to happen, and it's going to be a good time.
So, how much of those shows do you actually watch?
I don't care for any of them, but my wife loves those shows.
Yeah,
but we always go to this party. Every single year, we go to this party downtown, and this year, we're not going to it. And so I never get a chance to watch them. She never gets a chance. She loves them, but she never gets a chance to watch them. So, I'm going to be... This will be like on the election night, where we just get a pizza, and then I got Kornacki on one screen, and we're going, and we're flipping through. That's what tonight's going to be as well.
Can we just be honest? On New Year's, it's too much Seacrest. He's not Dick Clark. And we've positioned him
What's up with the Seacrest thing, though?
People
hate him on the wheel.
Yeah.
He's not beloved, taking over for Pat Sajak, and now he's getting destroyed on what is supposed to be his own day?
Yeah, don't care, because it's not his day. He's no Dick Clark. He's just not.
He's trying to be.
Like, Andy at least has his own lane and is doing it. Ryan Seacrest is, I don't even know he's human.
Well, I like Andy's lane. Andy's lane is like, let's just get drunk with Anderson Cooper and call it a day.
Yeah, and be a little sassy, too. Like, I like that, right? We're going to say some things we shouldn't say. Well, that's half the show.
Did, yeah.
Yeah, but... When it comes to Seacrest, I don't know he's human. He could be a robot, for all I know.
Yeah, is that
Fox
work?
Could have built him 30 years ago, and he could still just be functioning. It's like the Voyager 2. He's still somehow functioning better than any robot in the history of robots.
Is that work if they tell you to get drunk all night and just kind of like give your observations? It's kind of like what sports radio was 35 years ago, for being honest.
Yeah, well, okay, but it wasn't just the booze. And by the way, in New York, the ball dropping, it could also be a little powder as well, right?
How did Planet Fitness take over the whole entire day, by the way? When I think New Year's Eve and the ball dropping, I think of Planet Fitness. That is an incredible branding by them.
Yeah, at the same point, because it ties into the end of year guilt of like, oh, I got to be better in 2025. Don't play with delusions. All right, if you
don't
have a
play
plan.
With delusions.
Yeah, no,
give people hope.
No.
This is like the Browns quarterback conversation.
But,
give people hope at some point.
Yeah, no. But hope shouldn't just be about, I'm going to be so much better for the next week. Like, if you really...
But you do it as long as you can.
No, that's not really how change works.
Well, it's not how change works, but again, we're in the optimism business, right? Hey, for 10 people that try to get up on that treadmill for the first time on January 1st, one person will.
Okay, wait, so just getting on the treadmill, I'm getting 10%?
Listen, I'm not giving high percentages here for people to actually stay with their New Year's Eve commitment. Who's ever been like, I started something on New Year's Eve and it was turning over a new leaf, and then it actually made it for the whole entire year? It's like 10%
so
of people.
So if you maybe. Do it, there is no judgment, all right? I know it sounded like I was judging. I just hate false promises.
Talk about Planet Fitness. You're judging. They don't judge there. The whole motto is not to judge.
Let me reel it back in. No judgment. This is a judgment-free zone.
That's their pitch.
That being said, The idea that you just start anew because that one day changed to another is just bonkers to me.
Have you ever actually made a New Year's resolution? I've never made one. So
I can't
be the person that's like, I need to make something and make this big grandiose change because I don't ever make them.
Before I knew how the world worked and how I worked, I would do that sort of thing all the time. And then you know, like 10 days in, you'd be like, and where's the cheeseburger? And I guess I don't like this walking every day thing. So yeah, I tend to be, because I will, no, you know what? Again, judgment-free zone. It doesn't work for me. That's all I,
it does work for some people.
For some people, they can do that. That's not how my brain works. I have to just start doing something regardless of the calendar. And then every day I reaffirm my commitment to it.
Okay.
And if I try and put some false deadline on it or false, you know, I just start before I'm ready, it's going to go to pot.
So I did have like a 10-year stretch where I went to the gym every day, right? It was just a thing that I did. I liked going to the gym.
I would listen to sports radio. How much of that is what I knew?
It was probably about 18 to 28, 29, somewhere around there. It was actually well into me being here in Cleveland. So actually, I probably should say closer to maybe 20 to 30, that 10-year stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it, and I hated January because there was a lot of people that just filled up those gyms, and then you couldn't get anywhere and couldn't do anything, and you knew those people weren't going to be around in March. You knew they weren't going to be, but for that month, it's just annoying as hell.
I think I've always heard it's a week.
Also, by the way, what is the what 10-year stretch? Did I know you during that? And just because I didn't put on,
I thought I slid that one by the goalie there.
Just I didn't put on muscle mass doesn't mean I wasn't going. I was going. The reason why we stopped going is because I looked around and I'm like, oh, it has been a decade, and I don't look like an Under Armour model. I definitely am just walking around and listening to podcasts and talking to people. That's my gym.
Hey, that's actually why I stopped going to a gym in Streetsboro, is I knew too many people there. Okay, this is going to sound bad, because again, I'm fat because of my own decisions, but it made it infinitely harder to be on like a, what the heck are those things? Elliptical, and really be going after it. And somebody's like, hey, Nick, the girl's going to be at the game this weekend, because like their kid played sports with mine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it was like, and then you have to slow down and then you break a rhythm, and you can only, when you already have like a paper thin ability to stick to things like working out, any bit of distraction is only going to make it tougher. If we're just being 100% honest with ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, my problem is I just took it like 20% is all I ever... I never went hard in the paint in any of it.
You know who did go hard in the paint? The Cleveland Cavaliers. Oh, 28-4. Bazinga!
Yeah, what is... How does 28-4 rank with 15-0?
Listen, I'm here to tell you that if you guys don't believe in this team, you're just haters.
You got to be a hater.
You got to be a hater.
Got some haters in the building.
I'm going to lead with that. I'm not going to put it on the back end. You're a hater.
Strong words out of you.
That's the only kind I have. Will, weak as hell. Words, strong as hell. Man, I just want to thank the Cavs. Right here, no resolutions. No, I'm gonna get a listy because it's the, you know, we're turning the page over to 2025, and I still can't believe I'm alive. and that rhymed weirdly. But I just want to thank the Cavs, because all season long they've wanted such a clip and played such a fun, watchable brand of basketball that it is the low commitment, like, perfect rebound booty, like, just the best energy possible.
They can't be your pet project, though, okay? This is not...
I'm not fixing them.
I hate it when people did this with the Guardians, though. It was like, oh, well, we're just here for the highs.
Oh, no, no.
And then when the lows happen, we're jump off and pretend like they don't exist.
Yep.
No. If you're here for the good times, you got to be here for the bad times.
100%. But the fact that we have stretched the good vibes from October to 2025, thank God. I mean, in the midst of the Browns not just being abhorrent, but then everybody looking around like, man, I can't believe this either. I wonder how this happened. But we got the right guys. The mix of complete ineptitude and the certainty that they know everything, that they've got this covered, that you just need to stop being upset at how completely, I don't know, awful that they are. And like, why are you even questioning us? So from the Browns, from the fact that I enjoyed so much the Guardians for it only to turn into the same conversation it does every offseason, which is the vocal minority screaming about Dolan's is cheap and you can't even just get a moment of peace for any move they make. I got to tell you.
You're welcome, Cleveland.
The Cavs at 28-4. Thank you for delivering us. I am delivered.
Yeah, James.
From from all of the crap that usually comes with Cleveland sports. And last night was another sign of that, and the fact that the Warriors are washed as hell.
Well, and we talked about it going into the game, right? That the Warriors are, they're just an average team at best. People overrated them. And you got a Lakers team tonight. It'll be cool to play LeBron. It'll also be cool to put the boots to LeBron. Yeah. The worry I have, though, is that, and I hate that I feel this way, but I just do. I've just watched so much NBA in my life, and I know how this works. Young and athletic teams are always good this time of the year. Yep. This is how this works. And this team is, they're young, they're athletic. And the other caveat in this is that they go deeper. Hello. They go deeper
downtown
than most NBA rosters do. Like they are perfectly set up for the regular season to have this success.
Well, you missed one part. They play hard.
Yeah,
which is
not a thing that other people in the NBA do.
And in fairness, it's not something the Cavs, this is the Kenny Atkinson effect, it's not something the Cavs did last year consistently.
Also, well, I mean, they've also had extreme health this year, too.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. But, like, there were times where, oh, the Nets are in town. Yeah, they're not going to win this game. Inexplicably, they're not going to win this game. The only games I can think of this year where it was a complete letdown how they played, where they played down to their opponent, was the Hawks games.
Yeah.
That's it. Every other time, I've just watched them go out there and just bully teams. But I really will say, this is just another reminder that this is so much fun. Enjoy every second of it. But don't let yourself think this is more than what it is until we see proof otherwise.
Oh, I like that you're taking this approach because this is the time where people are going a little overboard on the Cavs in many respects. Like, now is the time because the Celtics have lost now 3 out of their last 4.
Yep.
They're not looking as good as they once were. They're still good. They're not a regular season team. They're a postseason team, okay? But they're looking, they look like they have a little bit of a chink in the armor, even though, again, I don't believe it to be true. And the Cavs right now have the number one offense in the NBA. They're top 10 in defense as well, and they look like they're playing the best basketball in the NBA.
Yeah, they're a great regular season team.
Yeah.
Like, they play hard, they have a tremendous offense, and they play enough defense. Oh, and by the way, they're incredibly deep. Like, and the fifth thing, they're incredibly well coached.
Yeah.
Those five things will take you tremendously far in the regular season. But I think, and because this is my concern with the Cavs as well, that they're going to look at this and go, well, we got this figured out. We don't need to modify this roster in any way. And I'm not saying that there is the perfect deal out there. Like, the Dorian Finney-Smith thing was wild to me. I mean, I actually thought, all things considered, 3 seconds and expiring contract and D'Angelo Russell was low, considering the esteem that people, you know, kind of place him in. But yeah, I mean, like, if Cam Johnson's there, 28-4 shouldn't stop you from going to make that deal. If Herb Jones is available, or one of the big wings in New Orleans, it shouldn't preclude you from making the roster or making the big move that you need to make, because quite frankly, that might be the difference between you being a true championship team and just being super competitive in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Celtics. If that's all Kobe Altman and Kenny Atkinson and Dan Gilbert want, okay. But man, I got to think, the NBA's wide open. You never know how long a championship window is or isn't.
Yeah.
28-4 might prove that the championship window is open, but remember, that championship window involves your core four, not 1 through 13.
Yeah, and how they maneuver through this is going to be really interesting, yep, and how we figure this whole thing out.
And there is a lot of risk, in fairness. Like, there's a lot of risk in making that move this year. If in the end, 2 years from now, you have to move on from Darius or Donovan one way or another. I'm not saying there isn't risk, but man, I got to say, if you put them on the table this year, you know, I think you're seeing that you've got the right coach. I think you are seeing that the system absolutely does fit in the NBA. And by the way, that's with pieces that still don't perfectly conform to each other. So you get one or two extra really good three-point shooters with size who can actually guard the Giannis's, the Tatum's, yeah, the Browns, that is the kind of thing that... Listen, I don't know there's a move that can put you above the Celtics if we just talk about pure talent.
Yeah, and that's...
But could it put you in the same ballpark?
Part of the discussion.
Like, could it put you in the same ballpark where all of a sudden it's not a complete afterthought of you beating them in the Eastern Conference Finals? Yeah, I think there are moves that could do that for you.
And we're only here because of this start.
Yeah. Oh, no, 100%. Yeah, but that's... It, you know, maybe that's a better way to put it. This is proof of concept that you are ridiculously talented. It shouldn't be proof of concept that you can win an NBA championship.
Yeah, I like that, yeah.
Until you get into the NBA playoffs, Like, and we say it all the time. It's a completely different game, mm-hmm. and that game is not suited, and is not as readily suited for two undersized combo guards who at points can get a little ball heavy to go ahead and just breeze through the playoffs the way I think some people expect them to at 28-4.
I'm happy you see it this way. I really got worried we were going to come in here and we'd have to do some sort of Donnybrook, some sort of knock them out, drag them out over what postseason basketball is relative to regular season basketball. But the idea that the Cavs have delivered so far to this point, and we can get so nitpicky on these games, that's a good thing. Like, think about it. The first quarter last night, Nick, they stunk up the joint. They didn't look good at all. Cavs Twitter was having a meltdown over it, and it's like, all right, then the next three quarters, they were amazing and didn't really matter. Like, having those type of discussions shows how far we've come, where even after a dominating win, we can still go, well, what happened in that first quarter? We've come a long way with this team. There's room to grow, and now we have to try to figure out a way where it matches what you'd see in the regular season with the postseason, where the postseason becomes a million times more physical and becomes a million times harder.
Well, and just remember, the rest of the NBA is telling you right now they don't think you're a real NBA a championship contender.
Right, Vegas tells you that. The national discussion tells you that all the time.
Yes.
They're not taking you that as seriously as people around here are.
Which is okay. Like, the Cavs still have more to prove. And in fairness, the Cavs have been underwhelming the two previous years in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But we should remember that, because some of the things that came out in the playoffs are because of how you're built. And, like,
yeah, like the physicality part of it.
Like, you might be overshooting what you are because the NBA is super soft, and because you're playing hard and you've got a lot of things that go right, you still might need one or two things. Both, like, but I think my point is this idea that in December or January we need to make definitive statements on the Cavs,
mm-hmm.
that's always where all of a sudden you miss me.
Yeah, don't get trapped in the idea that a young athletic team is off to a great start. If you're young and athletic, you can win a lot of regular season games in the NBA.
216-474-0092. Quick hits coming up at 2:40. We got a loaded show today. Albert Breer at 3 o'clock today. We'll get into the Browns letting Mike Vrabel out of his contract so he can go, well, just about anywhere he wants. We've also got Dave Biddle of Bucknuts.com at 4:20. We'll get into Ohio State, Oregon. That is going to be a fair amount of today's show, as that's going to be a big game tomorrow, 5 o'clock at the Rose Bowl. Ari Wasserman covers college football for On3 Sports, formerly of The Athletic, formerly of Cleveland.com. We'll get his thoughts on Ohio State, Oregon as well. But 216-474-0092, at Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media. Social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Are the Cavs a great regular season team, or do you think 28-4 proves more than that? That, Kenny Atkinson thought on it. Your calls next on 92.3 The Fan. Anthony Davis upgraded to probable for this game tonight. So LeBron, AD both playing. Could end up being a little bit more of a Donnybrook, even though the Lakers still totally suck.
Yeah, this poor LeBron never gets those holidays off, as he's one to critique often.
I will say,
works Christmas Day, works New Year's Eve. Poor LeBron.
I got to be honest with you. LeBron being content to live in L.A. and being on like 500 record Lakers teams, man, it hurts.
I hate this ending for him, by the way.
No, I do.
The non-competitive part of this Lakers team, I hate this ending for him.
It's so disappointing. It's so depressing.
Yeah. Well, especially since the Cavs are good is the other part of this.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not just that.
I mean, it's good for us that the Cavs are good, but LeBron could be here while the Cavs are good, and that kind of stings as well.
Let's be honest.
Like, great, you made Space Jam 2. Nobody watched.
The NBA's so wide open right now that 39-year-old LeBron, with the right team, could win two more titles.
He's still good.
Yeah. But the problem is, you've got a total beta in Anthony Davis, who's just never become the guy. Something about LeBron wants, like, he chooses his Scottie Pippen to be dudes who are immensely talented. Kyrie, Anthony Davis. The problem is, he picks just wackadoos. Like, he picks dudes.
Dwayne Wade was always fine.
Yeah, but that's, well, okay, but LeBron was his Pippen. Like, he taught LeBron to win, and then when LeBron has been the Jordan in the whole thing, I mean, it's Kyrie and it's Anthony Davis. I mean, Kyrie's not a beta like Anthony. Like, AD could just impose his will in the NBA and doesn't. Like, just there are just times where he's like, I guess I'll let Nikola Jokic run train on me. I can't. Why not?
Well, that's one way to describe that.
Because I watched the game. So I don't understand what's happened.
Sure.
Like, there should be nobody in the NBA that just runs all over AD, and he just lets it happen.
By the way, are you enjoying or disliking now that Evan Mobley, he went from the Kevin Garnett Fournette comps to now Anthony Davis seems to be his comp for some reason?
No, because I think so little of Anthony Davis.
I can tell you do, but it's funny to me how that's shifted, and I don't know why. I don't know why that's all of a sudden become the one.
I mean, AD, honestly, like when I think of bigs in the NBA, like Jokic is ahead of him, Embiid's ahead of him. Cat isn't, because I think they're kind of the same cat.
Those guys are also big, too. I mean, AD is built like a Twizzler.
Not anymore. Like, he's actually put a little bit of weight on. Like, he's not...
I haven't seen it.
He's not who he was the first 5 years in the NBA, where it was so much easier for guys to push him around. And by the way, there's also not a lot of guys who can push him around anyways now.
I think his face also doesn't help too, though, because he just always seems so disinterested when he's on the court.
This is like me
with the RBF, you know what I mean?
I was a little out of pocket with the train comment. When you're just basically there's something about his face.
He always looks bored, does he not?
If his face was just different, it'd be better.
It doesn't help that he always looks so disinterested. He looks like he just does not care.
That's a really good point. Do I have to get a rebound? Okay. Ooh, Eeyore.
It is.
And then he goes
up and down the court, and you're like, AD, get your head in the game. What are you doing?
It's so personal so quickly there.
I'm sure he's listening and is mad about it.
He is just furious about it. Josh and Berea, what you got for us, bud?
Hey, well, first off, Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Josh.
And we're all here for the rah-rah, so it's not really a pushback. But just to what Peterlin said, like, hey, guys, this is what young athletic teams do. I would say that's partially true if this was like, hey, the Cavs came out of nowhere. Like, let's also remember the Cavs have won a lot of games before going into the season. They were already kind of viewed as, oh, they're a good regular season team. I mean, we went through the series that we did with the Knicks. We went through the series that we did with the Celtics. And every year they kind of took a little bit of step forward. And now they already had the pieces here. Yes, the guys are young, but they're experienced as well. They've been battle-tested. Know what it looks like when you have to go up against Boston in a playoff series. They know what it looks like going up against Jalen Brunson and Mitchell Robinson. Like, they've seen it. And now you have a system that just looks like it's going to work. A system, by the way, that has shown in the postseason that you don't have to have the tightest rotations, because the Spurs won championships by running 10 guys. The Golden State Warriors won championships running 10 guys. And I don't see why the Cavs couldn't do it, because they are moving the ball. Like, everyone is moving the ball. When you get 40 assists on the Nuggets, when they drop 135 points on you, and it was a blowout, you blew them out, that is showing you your offense is on another level, and they can always go back to the defense, in which you got to give credit to Kenny, because he didn't want to change that defensive philosophy when you got to have it. So I'm not going to say they're going to win a championship, but I do think they should be considered real contenders. I don't see them losing a series 4-1. I don't see them, like, any series they get into in the divisional round, the semifinals or the Eastern Conference or the finals, it's going to be a close series because the philosophy is there, and you got a superstar in Donovan Mitchell, which most superstars wouldn't do, that's buying in. Donovan Mitchell used to be like, hey, I'm going to go and I'm going to dominate this game for 40 minutes or 38 minutes. It's going to be me. I'm going to shoot 12 for 27, but I'm going to will myself to victory. Where now, we saw last night in the Golden State game, he just took a little bit of a backseat, and then, oh, here you go, 5 threes in the third quarter. I changed the game in 5 minutes because I know Darius is going to hold it. I know Jared Allen's going to play good defense. Hey, Mobley don't have it. It's all right. We got Dean Wade over here having a double-double on these guys, and it's looking so good, and I think it's okay to have expectations for this team to make it far. And with everything that's gone on for the last 3 years.
Thank you, Josh. We appreciate you, buddy. Happy New Year.
The Spurs thought, I think, is interesting. Now, they're obviously very different than the Spurs, because Popovich is the greatest NBA head coach of all time, and they have, what, 4 Hall of Famers on that team? It's like the talent is, it's very different between those two teams in my mind, but I have been trying to find like some sort of comp, because the problem I have with buying into the Cavs being a true NBA Finals winner this year is I can't find the great NBA comp historically to what this team would be. I mean, there's all sorts of teams across NBA history that have future Hall of Famers and, MVP winners and everything of the mix. We go into the 0-4 Pistons. That's not the comp you want, guys. I'm telling you right now, that's not the comp you want. And the Spurs one misses for me. They would be doing what I believe to be would be a unique one of one in NBA history if they won it this year with this type of team constructed the way it is and how they win.
Yeah, I think this is the way I've thought of them all year long, because I think Josh's point is, well, they could be really competitive against Boston. And I do think like this team could be more competitive with health, which he didn't have last year,
yeah,
and this situation in place with Atkinson. Do I think they could push Boston in a 7-game series? Yeah, absolutely. The problem is that's not the goal.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it is, again, maybe it is for the Cavs. But right now, I think the Cavs are better positioned to be what Boston was to LeBron's Cavs, what Atlanta was to LeBron's Cavs, what Washington was in the first iteration to LeBron's Cavs, which are teams that are good enough to push you and make you better, but not teams that have enough talent to overtake you. And that, I think, is a really difficult spot to be in, because the margins to get better are pretty thin. I mean, you're not going to get a fifth superstar here or a fifth star talent.
Yeah.
And I think the intent is to keep the core four together. That's okay, but like right now, I think they're a really good regular season team that can beat anybody in the East, but probably Boston. But I don't think it's a lock that they could beat every team in the East. By the way, but in the end, if you're just good enough to lose in seven to Boston. I know we're going to see that as linear progression, but in the era of any team can win an NBA championship on any given year, the wide open NBA, it feels like if you know that's where you are now, man, you kind of got to put them on the table and take that next step, no?
Well, the wide open NBA part of this has to be really encouraging, though. We've had, what, six finals champions in 6 years? Like, I mean, like this is the time, because historically it's dominated by stretches of dynasty runs. And I'm worried that we're in the beginning of a little bit of a stretch here with the Celtics dynasty.
Well, that's why you got to cut the head off the snake while you can. That's why, like, you being the team that can beat Boston is crucially important, because if they get two, I mean, getting over that first hump is tough enough. Winning the second is even tougher. I remember Phil Jackson saying the second one every time was the toughest one to get, because it's turning it back into the we when after a championship everybody goes to a me status.
Yeah, the 92 Bulls were the best version of the Bulls ever too. They were better than the 72 and 10 96 team as well. They beat the Lakers in the finals.
That to me right now, my concern is, man, they're a great regular season team, and they are as good as maybe 26 other teams, if not better than 26 teams in the NBA. The problem is there's one team you got to go through.
Unfortunately, they might end up looking like that Suns team in 2021 that ran up into Luka that won 64 regular season games. Just like awesome, just dominated through the regular season, and then you get to the playoffs and you run into a buzzsaw, and that's all, folks. Anthony Davis, like that's all she wrote.
216-474-0092. Are the Cavs a great regular season team or more than that? And we're actually going to push quick hits off, because we have an honest conversation about how we handle the end of a year, the end of year sequence in Sports Talk Radio. That's next on 92.3 The Fan. Kevin Stefanski confirming it was the Browns who let Mike Vrabel out of his consulting contract 6 days early. I guess it'd be 5 days early. And also said he was a huge part of the team's success in 2024. So that because I asked yesterday the difference between the contract expiring yesterday and then letting him out of the contract. I think it greatly benefits Kevin Stefanski that Mike Vrabel won't be here when the season is over.
Yeah, I was thinking about that one as I was driving home, because I was like, you reiterated it, and then I remember making some off put whatever I said, and then you went back to it, and I'm like, I know what you were doing there. You were trying to be like, hey, guy, I have an important thing to say about this. Pay attention. It just didn't register for me for whatever reason. I was trying to figure it out. And I'm still trying to. I want you to hammer that home for just a second. Will you please? Like the idea.
I think the idea of getting any distance for not just Kevin Stefanski, but for the Browns, giving 6 days of distance between yourself and Mike Vrabel, the guy that any guy that any person that wants Kevin Stefanski fired or wants that at least discussed.
Mm-hmm.
It's because Mike Vrabel's right there. So if Mike Vrabel is, I don't know, at the 1 yard line with the Raiders or the Jets or the Patriots by, let's say, next Monday, Yeah, it's gonna take some of the complication out of the conversation with why are the Browns bringing back a head coach who just went 3-13 when a guy who probably wouldn't have let that happen this year is still in the building.
I wonder if they're gonna be able to do something with Vrabel that quick. Because the conversation will still be around. If Vrabel doesn't sign on the dotted line by Monday, Tuesday, you know the conversation's still gonna exist.
I mean, I think that's when they say, well, he's no longer in the building, and you know we're just another team. I think again. It's tough not to be cynical about it at points. It is, because sometimes it feels like the thing they care about most is logicking us to death, even mm-hmm. when the results stank. But, yeah, I think by then it'll be, well, you know, we wouldn't do that to Kevin. And Mike's not, I mean, Mike's, you know, it doesn't have to be true, by the way. It's all just PR spin. But, yeah.
I do wonder then, well, why didn't they let him out 2 weeks ago? When he knocked out of playoff contention. Why didn't they give him that opportunity then?
I think that's a really good question. I don't know the answer.
You know, like we're being so altruistic about it. We're being such good guys. Then really give them a chance. You're out of the playoff competition. Give them 3-4 weeks when you're done. The season is over to go ahead and do whatever you need to do. Get all your ducks in the row.
And I will tell you, it is wild how, and we've even eaten it up, so I cannot act as if I'm above this. All the things that they say they do in the name of altruism, when in reality, it's just good business for them. Just benefits them. Again, in this case, it benefits Jimmy Haslam to not have Mike Vrabel in the building when some fans, it might even just be a vocal minority, want Kevin Stefanski fired. So, yeah, does it help Mike Vrabel? Yeah, but if it didn't help the Browns more than it helped Mike Vrabel would still be here.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Now, with that being said, where are we on top five lists or any sort of ranking list to end the year?
Over him, but I do love the idea of us tearing them apart.
Okay, so the reason why we're asking is, dear writer, at right or wrong, no, I lost the damn thing.
I think just fan at the end, I think.
At right or wrong, FAN, put out his top five Cleveland sports moments of 2024. And the reality is, and now, Daryl put this on social media. That's different than if Daryl had a show and did a full hour on this today.
Yeah, because I was thinking to myself, I'm like, you know, Nick, should we do something like a top five list? And I presented it to you in the way of like, no, that's hack.
Yeah.
Like, I can't bring myself to do that. That's not something that I would ever do on a show, so I can't do that way.
It's like mock drafts with candy. 7 years ago, it was fun.
Yeah.
Now every show does them when they don't have a topic to get to. So now it is hack.
But then Daryl had his list, and the only thing I could think of is I want to destroy his list.
Okay.
List. I don't want to. Excuse me.
Good
Lord.
I'm talking downtown.
Hello. Oh, come on. Nick loves this. For those that don't know, in between the breaks, anytime anything becomes sexual, I always say I'm talking downtown. And now Nick has taken that and co-opted it as his own.
No, it's a show thing now. And he damn near killed me there too, because I started laughing so hard at my own joke, because I'm a D-bag. But no, this is a new bit. We are throwing this out for the rest of the show.
Yeah, we don't like making lists. That's not our thing.
No, if we did it, it would be hack.
It would be.
But if you do it, and then we react to your list, not hack.
No longer a hack.
So, Jake, we're not going to get to yours right now. It can be about anything. It can be top five Cleveland sports moments like Daryl did of 2024. It can be your top five favorite things that you ate this year. It can be literally anything that you want to rank about 2024. And we'll deem whether your top five list, it can be top three too, but top five. Top five list, Jax, you as well. We're giving you carte blanche, but not just, you know what, 216-474-0092. Or at Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin, bring us your top five of 2024 list.
Yeah, whatever you feel good about as we enter into 2025 and everyone does a top five list today.
And so if we're going to do that, we have to start with Daryl's because this is the one that generated the conversation. So again, these are Daryl's top five Cleveland sports moments of 2024. Do we want to start from five, or do we just want to cut the head of the snake off and just talk about how wrong he is for what
he... We start with one, because one was such a ridiculous thing to start a sports moments of 2024
with. So, mind you, the Cavs were in the ALCS. Donovan Mitchell re-signs with the Cavs, right?
The Guardians were in the ALCS.
Yeah. Cavs were actually in the second round of the playoffs against Boston. Donovan re-signs. They didn't break up the core four. The Browns won a game once. The snow globe game.
The Ravens game after Jimmy Donovan passed away.
Deshaun tearing his AC or tearing his Achilles for some folks. Not my top five, but that is some people's top five.
Only the people that clapped.
Only the 3%. You know who you are. He chose the solar eclipse on opening day.
It can't be the number one.
No.
It's impossible to make that your number one.
No, because the fact it was opening day, it has nothing to do with the solar eclipse. Right? Like, it
was the
universe,
hook for him, is that it was opening day, so it's bigger than game two of the season.
It's forced. It's
but
a stretch.
It's 100% a stretch.
No. That is a
Bikram yoga reach.
In fairness, it's a weather anomaly. Or, sorry, it's a astronomical anomaly.
Also, by the way, this is playing off the idea that you think watching Jonkenzie Noel hit that home run was not as cool as watching the solar eclipse.
What about
which was fine and was entertaining for about, I don't know, 15 seconds. I was fine. I'm not saying it wasn't cool, but it also wasn't. I won't remember it the same way I will Jonkenzie Noel 30 years
ago. David Fry gave us three hits in the ALDS
Thomas
and ALCS.
Took us to the ALCS with the grand slam off Scooble.
He erased the Lemon Law Lane name that I gave the man for the first 6 weeks he was here, where he couldn't hit water if he fell out of a friggin' boat.
There were so many cool Guardians moments in that postseason.
Honestly, you could put just the Guardians fast start as part of that, playing like 800 ball through 80
now,
games.
Now, you famously weren't a fan of the solar eclipse. So I get
oh,
it.
Wait.
Leading into it,
I was very cynical and dismissive of the solar eclipse. Once I saw it, I warmed to it a little. It's still
a little.
It's still a okay. I remember.
So I was in for you that day, and we went outside in between one of the breaks, and we watched it, and it was fine.
Yeah. No, that's a perfect way.
That's what I would say.
It's fine.
Fine.
It was
fine. Jonkenzie Noel. That was almost a life-changing experience.
For 3 years, we were told Donovan Mitchell was going to go elsewhere, and they laughed. The chuckle clucks on ESPN, oh, he's not going to stay at Cleveland. And they all laughed, and they got together for how smart and how cool they were, because they know the little pee-ant town that is Cleveland couldn't possibly keep Donovan Mitchell. For 2 years, we heard that. It was called the worst trade in the NBA because of a bunch of draft picks in 2027.
Yeah.
And then he re-signed, shutting up the rest of the NBA media. It was a borderline orgasmic moment in Cleveland sports compared to...
He's talking downtown.
Huh? Oh, can't see it now. It's dark. Oh, okay, there's light again.
Oh, it got a little cold. It got a little chilly. We had to bring a jacket.
Ooh, it dropped 6 degrees.
It's the summertime, and we're putting on a coat.
It was,
wacky are we?
The solar eclipse was great. All right, but the idea that it fell on opening day is not a great... If somehow the Guardians had received World Series rings...
If he had made a personal 2024 list, right?
And
it's things like mowed my lawn for the 77th time, and then solar eclipse at the top, yeah. That's different.
Yeah,
that's different.
Right.
This is a sports list.
That's exactly. This is... That was weird.
He didn't even slot it in at like number three either. He made it number one.
That's a safe one. If you put it three, I'm not calling out
number
your list
three,
today.
Number three, we're like, all right, fine. Number one?
Also, Cavs start 15-0.
All right, so wait, no. So
wasn't Daryl the guy bleeping all over the 15-0 start, or
no,
was that
you
me. Too?
That was me. I don't
that
know if Daryl. Did Daryl bleep all over it?
I'm assuming he
bleeps over a lot. Was he a cupper and a streaker, or was he just a cupper? Was he just a streaker?
I'm the only cupper and streaker in Cleveland, and that will be on my tombstone.
He's talking downtown.
All the way.
I just want to do it all day now.
All right. You know, Jim in Strongsville is a man who will say what he hates. Jim, we got to get you in on the top five rankings of Daryl Ryder's Cleveland sports moments in 2025. Do you think the solar eclipse on opening day is above all other things that happen in Cleveland sports this year?
No, that's stupid.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, part of the committee.
Yeah, I was going to do something else, but now I'm going to, in honor of you guys, I'm going to do a top five list.
Ooh, okay.
Top five fan on air personalities.
Okay.
Number one, you want 5 to 1 or 1 to 5?
One to five.
Yeah, okay.
1 to 5, because 1 and 2 are easy.
This list already sucks, but okay.
I don't like this list already.
Number one, Ken Carmen.
That's an easy play. That's
Man
a very easy
Where's
play.
Where's the solar eclipse play
I mean,
of the top five
to
personalities?
He's not
going
to invite you over to the house.
Number
in
two.
Put some stones and put Vonick at the top, Jim.
Yeah.
Number two, Anthony Lima.
That's another very low-hanging
fruit. Good
thing
we just destroy lists, because this one's not off to a great start, Jim.
Number three, Andy Baskin.
All right, now this is getting personal.
Now you're just
being
mean.
This is very personal.
Now you're just being mean,
Jim. I see what you're doing here.
Number four.
Okay.
Number four,
Jeff Phelps.
Okay, all right. Just get to five.
One of us isn't going to make
it. Down to five. You know you wish it. You know what you hope it is. Number five, Dean Lettigan.
That's it. Get the hell out of here. No. Listen.
It's an A-minus list.
Listen, Ken's got a six-year jump on us. And Ken and Lima have a six-year jump. All right? Lima's used to be one of Cleveland's most eligible singles. Ken's getting write-ups on Cleveland Scenes magazine. Ken has more jobs than Sechrist. I'll take those bullets every day. All right? We're working from a deficit. We're a new show. I've been back two years.
It was the perfect list, though, was it not?
But yeah, well, you know what, though? I respect him for the Madigan placement.
He
could have gone a lot of places at five, and he stayed true to Baskin and Phelps. Top five callers in the fan history. Number one, not Jim. Number two, not Jim. Number three, also not Jim. Number four,
Mr. Buckley, anybody but Jim.
Yeah. Number five, Mr. Buckley, because he's not Jim. anything else we should rip about Daryl's top five list?
Really,
it's very
we really walked into that Jim list, did we not?
We did. We called for it.
Yeah, before he said
we
what he was going to do.
Handed him the gun and said, I bet you won't shoot me.
Yeah, I knew what it was going to happen there. That's well done, Jim.
I'm going to turn my back here and don't you dare shoot me, Jim. Also, I just think the Guardians should be higher up this. Like, I think it has to go Cavs with it. I think Donovan's extension's number one. Guys,
okay.
Everyone said it wasn't going to happen. They treated you like idiots when they made fun of you when you suggested Donovan was going to stay here.
Miles Garrett, Defensive Player of the Year award should be somewhere. I think is that grouped into the fifth? Is that what that is?
Yeah, it is. Which again, I don't like.
No grouping.
Yeah, no grouping here. He's just trying to shoehorn Kevin Stefanski winning Coach of the Year for the second time, totally deservedly. Being in there, I don't like that.
A potential three-time Coach of the Year when we do our awards next week.
There will be no awards. Mostly so I can avoid it. It was a survey. It's totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different. I'll go Donovan. Guardians of the ALCS.
Wait, I thought we don't make lists. We just rip lists.
Oh, you're right, because that list is dumb.
That's
216-474-0092. Jake is going to give his list later in the show. Jax is going to give his list later in the show. Give us your top five. It can be anything other than host, because that was really hurtful. Anything. And we'll tell you whether it's a good list or not. Daryl's, I give it a C. Give him a C+. Actually, C+, because I love Daryl.
Good start. B-. It was ridiculous with the eclipse.
$1 bob me, you sandbagging son of a...
It was ridiculous with the eclipse, but I appreciated the thought in it.
Albert Breer, MMQB, next on 92.3 The Fan.